Amen. Well, if we can go to our Bibles, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Brother Kent ministered a wonderful message this morning, and I encourage you, if you missed it, to go back and to listen to the preaching from the 9:15 service. And what I'm about to minister today very much ties in with what Brother Kent was ministering. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to give you some time to look it up in your Bibles. You know, one of the things about being a Christian is that we are Christians in the modern day. And of course, we have technology and all those sort of things. But, you know, there's something about our Bible. You know, we take our mobile phone everywhere, okay? Everywhere we go, we take our mobile phone. It can be used for lots of things. But there's something special when we pick up our Bible because it contains the Word of God. There's lots of great application in it. But there's no apps, there's no maps, there's no games. There are some maps, though, rather than apps. But when we take this Bible, we're saying, God, I need to hear from you. I don't want any distractions. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Everyone say, thank God for His mercy. By the mercies of God. In fact, Paul's just spent 11 chapters talking about the mercy of God. So he says, because of the mercy of God, I'm beseeching you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed. Everybody say conformed. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just wonder, maybe we can read that scripture out loud together. It's on the screen for everybody to read it. Can we please read it together? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And all the church says amen. I want to minister today on this title, The Power of Surrender. The Power of Surrender. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Lord, we need your word to speak to us. Lord, if we don't hear from you, what will we do? For your words are life. Lord God, they are breath. Lord God, they are meat, they are bread, they are everything that we need, Lord God. And so today as we open your word, Lord God, I pray as we open the word that, Lord, you would open our heart. Do open heart surgery on us, Lord God. If there be anything that, Lord God, you want to deal with in our life, let your word have a free course. Lord, reprove, correct, instruct in righteousness. Lord God, we want to be thoroughly furnished. We want to be the people that you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. The power of surrender. The power of surrender. It amazes me when I think about technology. Recently, I was cleaning out. My dad was cleaning out, and he found some old floppy disks. Remember floppy disks? The little ones were the amazing ones, you know, 1.44 megabytes. They were huge, you know, 1.44 megabytes. But I remember before that, we used to have big floppy disks like this. They were 244 kilobytes, and they were amazing, the technology. I mean, I remember when my dad first bought a computer home. He was a school teacher and he bought home a computer. And it was, when I think about how archaic it was huge, number one. And everything was through DOS, you know, load this, save that. You had to type everything in. There was no mouse or anything like that. But when I think about the power that we have in our pocket now, so much power. I mean, I don't have megabytes. I don't know, I can't really do the maths, but 1.44 megabytes used to be on a floppy disk. Now I think on this one I've got 64 gigabytes. So that's a lot of floppy disks, all right? There's so much power here. I mean, I can pay bills, could book tickets, probably buy a house on here. I mean, you probably can do everything you want to do, you can do on your phone. There is so much power in this little device. And as a pastor, I must also warn you, there's a lot of danger in this little device as well. And so you've got to make sure that you live a holy life, even when it comes to using your devices. But there is so much power for good and for bad. So much power in this little device. When I turn on my laptop computer, there's even more power in the laptop. But there's one thing, if I want to access anything, that wealth of information, all of those tools and applications that are available there, to get the access, I've got to use a key. I've got to use a password. To be able to get in, you've got to use that password. And if you don't know the password, I mean, this phone, you can steal my phone if you want. Well, maybe not if you want, because I might have an issue with that. But you can take this phone, and as powerful as it is, you will have no access to its power because you don't know the password. Plus, I can follow you because I got track my phone as well. But the password, if you don't know the password, you have no access to all the things. So many benefits and so many things that make life easier. If you don't have the password, you can't access it. You can't access it. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the key to experiencing salvation. The key to experiencing God's direction. If you need God's direction today, I'm going to be talking about a key that can you can access God's direction, God's version of Google Maps. If you don't know where to go, God can give you direction. You just got to use the key that I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a key that will allow you, and everybody loves this, to have access to God's blessing and God's provision in your life. I'm talking about the key. You see, God is all powerful. He has everything under His control. He is sovereign, but you can't access it without the key. I'm talking about a key, an ongoing attitude that opens up the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking today about surrender. Everybody say surrender. So many people struggle with their identity. So many people want to know what their purpose is. So many people struggle with low self-esteem. I want to preach today a key that will help you to understand, the key that will open up the many benefits of the kingdom of God. I'm preaching about the power of surrender. Surrender. You think, well, what can be so powerful about surrender? It sounds like a very passive thing. It sounds like, you know, somebody just laying down, rolling over, giving up, and surrendering. But there is power in surrender. And we read it. Paul is saying, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So in the kingdom of God and in the plan of God, for our lives, there is so much to be accessed. There is so much to be accessed. Regarding my life, there is so much to be accessed. Regarding God's plan for my life, there is so much to be accessed. Regarding God's provision and blessings, there's so much, but you've got to use the key. You've got to use the password. And I submit to you today that the first password you use is surrender. Everybody say surrender. You see, when you understand surrender, but not just understand, when you activate surrender in your life, you will gain access to the things of God on a whole new level. You see, we must remember, Sister Davina, that He is the potter and we are the clay. He made us, Brother James, and He made us with a plan and purpose for our lives. When He formed us in our mother's womb, He knew our beginning from our end, and He has a plan and a purpose for our life. He created you with talents and abilities. He has allowed you to have life experiences and all these things. God is in control. God has a plan and a purpose. But as great as God's blessing is, as great as His provision is, you can only access it when you surrender to Him. There's too many pieces of clay arguing with the potter. We need to surrender and allow ourselves to be soft and malleable. I think the word is soft and workable in the potter's hands. Remember, he is the potter and we are the clay. And so surrender, it's not something we value. In fact, as men, that's the last thing we want to do. You know, most of the time we want to fight, not surrender. People don't really value it. And because people don't value surrender, it goes unutilized and it leaves us outside of the blessing of God. It leaves some people because they're not willing to surrender. They want to do salvation their own way. Because they don't surrender, it leaves them outside of salvation and ultimately outside of the kingdom of God. In fact, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had a choice right there. Is he going to surrender and do what Jesus told him to do? Or is he going to do life his own way? Surrender. You access the blessing of God, the promises of God, salvation, all of those things with the key, surrender. And so let me ask you a question today. Is Jesus your Savior? Now, I hope most of you would say, yes. Everybody wants a Savior. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus today, and if you haven't made him your Savior and you haven't been obedient to the Scriptures and repented of your sin, I will tell you, giving your life to Jesus and allowing him to become your Savior begins with repentance. That is surrendering up our old life and saying, God, I surrender to you. What is your plan and purpose for my life? What does your word tell me how I should live? I'm surrendered. And so if you haven't surrendered in that way, and if you haven't made Jesus your Savior today, if you haven't repented of your sin, then start with surrender. Don't delay. Don't delay. And so you say, well, Pastor, the first question was easy. Of course, Jesus is my Savior. But now I'm going to ask you a much harder question. Is Jesus your Lord? Well, what do you mean? Well, what does the word Lord mean? It means boss. Okay. Master and owner of everything. Controller. I am fully submitted to him. I'm fully surrendered to him. He is my Lord. I listen. I obey. He speaks. I obey. He's my Lord. So a lot of people say, you want Jesus to be your Savior? They're like, yes, my life is a mess. I need a Savior. But then the challenge comes after that. Well, are you willing to make him Lord? Your Lord and Savior? A lot of people want to get out of jail card, but they don't want him to be Lord. You see, it may be the more important question today. Is your life completely surrendered to Jesus? And the old hymn says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his service daily live. And so a lot of people, they don't mind having Jesus as their co-pilot. But as that country song sings, and I don't know who wrote it, but it says, Jesus, take the wheel. Don't be happy just to have Jesus as your co-pilot. A lot of people are happy to say, you know what? It's great being a Christian. You've always got Jesus. He's always there if you need him. That's true. But he doesn't just want to be there if you need him. He wants to take the wheel and take control. If you would just surrender your life to him, it's the power of surrender. The power of surrender. And so a lot of people don't mind having Jesus as their co-pilot, but will you let him take control? Surrender is the result of submitting to his will. God, not my will, but your will. Surrender is the key to unlocking salvation for our soul. Surrender is the way to unlock the treasures of the kingdom of God. You see, you may believe, but will you surrender? Surrender is the key to unlocking God's destiny for your life. I'm talking about the power of surrender. And here's a verse for somebody today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we often worry about the things, But God says, seek me first, surrender first, and I'll take care of everything. Surrender, because surrender is that key. Surrender is that password that unlocks the kingdom of God. And so, Matthew 6, verse 33, in context, we read verse 31, it says, we have need of stuff. How many people know we need stuff? All right? Most of us need stuff. We all need stuff. We need food, water, we need clothing, we need warmth. We've got a lot of needs. But we have need of stuff, verse 31 says. And then verse 32 says, God knows what we need. Okay? So I thank God that He knows what I need. Okay? And then verse 33 says, you don't make things first. Don't seek things first. God knows what you need, but instead make God first. Seek God first. Surrender. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to say, God, I surrender my will to you. Have your way in my life. God, I yield everything to you. Have your perfect will in my life today. And so my question today is to ask you, what is God speaking to you about today? In what area is God wanting you to surrender? You see, a lot of times we get down to pray and we begin to seek God, and the same thing keeps popping up over and over again. And God's saying, come on, it's time to surrender completely. It's time to give your life completely. We get down to pray and we're so mindful that there are parts of our life that we love God, yes, but we're just not willing yet to completely surrender. Let me tell you, when you surrender your desires, you surrender your finances, you surrender your plans, and when you do that, those things that you were so worried about, He says, seek me first and my righteousness, and I will add those things to you. Romans 12, verse 1, it's about surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I need to just tell you to stay in that verse because I'm going to stay there. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 is about surrender. And Paul uses some intense language. He's speaking to the church. He says, I beseech you. Now, that's a strong word. He's saying, I urge you. I beg you. He said, I really want the church in Rome to hear what I'm talking about. And more than that, those things written in Romans are for us today. So Paul's saying, I really want the church in Rome to get this. And I really want the church in 2022 at Calvary Chapel to get this. I urge you, I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of God's mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, think about it. Why would Paul be so intense? Why would he be so intense? Well, let me tell you. Paul is intense right now because it was how his life was transformed. That's why he is so intense about transformation and so intense about surrender, because he was on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting Christians. He was the man. He had a lot of things going for him, and Jesus came to him and appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he said, hey, Paul, stop resisting. How long are you going to kick against the pricks? All right, how long, Paul? And it was on the road to Damascus that he surrendered, and his life was completely changed. And so Paul is seeing the power of surrender in his life, and he says to the church at Rome, I beseech you now, for brethren, submit to God. Give your life a living sacrifice. Surrender to God. He wanted the church in Rome to know the power of surrender. The power of surrender. And so he uses intense language like urge and beseech, all of those things. Give your body. He says, present our body and our lives a living and a holy sacrifice. Everybody say my life. Everybody say my body. Everybody say my mind. You see, Paul, before Paul was saved, he used his body for sinful pleasures. He used his mind for sinful purposes, but now he was saved. He's given his body a living sacrifice. And before we were saved, we used our body and our minds and all of those things, our abilities, I forgot the word, but we used them for sinful things. But now we are saved. God is saying, Use your body, present your body as a living sacrifice. Present it holy and acceptable unto God. You see, our body as Christians is the temple of the living God. And so God is calling us to give all of us to all of Him. Everybody say, all of me to all of Him. So, living sacrifices. You see, whatever God is going to do in you, whatever God is going to do with you, and whatever God is going to do through you, He's going to do it through the context of your humanity. He's not going to deify you. You're going to become something other than humanity. Whatever God wants to do in your life, He's going to do it through the context of your humanity, why you are alive. Now, if God wants to speak to you, how is God going to speak to you? He's going to do it through the context of your humanity. He's going to speak to you through your ears. If God is going to show you something, He's going to show you it through your mind, through your eyes. If He wants to deliver you, He wants to do it through the access to your mind. If He wants to guide you, He's got to have access to your feet. If He wants to order those things in your life, then you have to be surrendered. You have to give them to Him. And so surrender is when you present your life holy, acceptable as a living sacrifice. And so I want to make it clear that this sounds like a tough call. This sounds like something like Paul is asking for just a little bit too much from us. But he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Because God, it's not like God expects something from us and He hasn't done anything. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, because of God's mercy, because of His grace. Yeah, I tell you, everything in the Christian life is because we love God. Why do we present our lives a living sacrifice? Because I love Him. Why do we come to church? Because I love Jesus. Why do we give? Because I love God. Why do we serve? Because I love God. You see, I'm talking about surrender. And the motivation for surrender is always to come from a love for God, a love for His mercy, an appreciation for His grace. And so, I tell you, my dad used to tell the story about the chicken and the pig. And so, I'm going to continue the story because it's a great story. But one day, a chicken and a pig were discussing about going into business. And the chicken walked up to the pig, Brother Femi. He said, hey, pig. And what he was saying when he said that. Sorry, I just had to get your attention, all right? Some of you look a bit sleepy, so. I got a deal. Let's start a business. We're going to sell bacon and eggs. My chicken had a great idea. He said, I'll give them the eggs if you give them the bacon. And the pig says, hey, oink, 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 that may be good for you, but I don't think I'm getting a fair deal. I mean, an egg is a contribution, but chicken, you're asking me for my life. And many Christians are like that. They're saying, God, I'm happy to give you an egg. I'm happy to come to church here and there, and I'm happy to serve here and there, and you know, I'm happy. I want to live for you, but you know, I want to still have these things in under my control, and I don't want to completely surrender. Of course, God, I want your blessing, but hey, I just want to give you an egg every now and then. But God asks not for a partial contribution. He asks for sacrifice as a living sacrifice. And many Christians, you know, the altar is a place of sacrifice. Many Christians are climbing on and off the altar all the time. Okay, God, I really need your help right now. Oh, God, here I am. I'm presenting my life a living sacrifice. I'm on the altar. And then when things start going well, I'm off the altar. I'm on the altar. I'm off the altar. I'm surrendered. No, God, get out of my business. So Paul says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I had to break that down because what Paul was saying is to present your body as a living dead thing. You say, what do you mean? Well, they knew what sacrifice meant in the Bible. It meant dying. It meant climbing on an altar and dying. And so what Paul is saying sounds like a contradictory phrase. But he says that you present your body as a living dead thing. That means surrender is giving up. your life. However, in giving up your life and in surrendering, you are opening the door to the power of God. I'm talking about the power of surrender. And so Paul, I'm taking some time to teach today. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But then Paul, who wrote Romans 12, then tells us a little bit more in Galatians. He says it like this. I am crucified with Christ. Everyone say, I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. Everyone say, I'm alive. I can't get my head around that. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. Yet not I, because I'm dead. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm alive. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul's explaining exactly what it's like to live as a living dead thing. We are alive to God, but we are dead to ourselves because we have surrendered to God. We said, God, it's not about my will. I don't want control. I don't want you just to be my Savior, but I want you to be my Lord. Everyone say, Lord. And so, okay, Paul, what does that mean? If we had Paul here today and I said, Paul, can you please tell us what you meant by that and what you meant by Romans 12? He would have said something like this. He would have said, well, church, that means the only plans I have is what God plans for me. I only do what God wants me to do. I want to be in his will. I've surrendered my ambition. I've surrendered all my worldly pursuits. I just want the will of God above everything else. I am surrendered. Everyone say a living sacrifice. But then he says the word holy. And he says, be not conformed. Holy means to be unique and set apart for God. God is a jealous God. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't be pressed into the mold of this world. Let me tell you, men, this world has a mold they want you to fit in. And there's pressure to be pressed into that mold. You've got to only ask the students around here. They'll tell you there is a mold. There is a pressure, even from their peers and from the media and all these things. There is a mold that the world is trying to press you in. But Paul says, don't be fooled. Don't be conformed to the world. And so this world will seek to conform you. And we are to be in the world without being of the world. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 17. I want you to turn there. It's on the screen, actually. John 17, 14 to 17. Because when I think about being in this world, I think, well, God, why don't you just remove us from here? And some people have even gone as far to say, as Christians, we just need to go live in a camp somewhere in the forest and live in log cabins and cut wood and hunt animals for food and that because we can't be in the world, you know? But that's not what Jesus wants. Look what Jesus says. He says, I don't want you removed. I just don't want you conformed. You've got to be in the world, but not of the world. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. When you stand up for the word of God, the world will hate you because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Jesus says, don't go taking them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil, to be in the world, but to be kept from evil, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. That means separate them. How do we separate ourselves from the world? We got to be in the world, but not of the world. How do we know what that means? Jesus says that we are sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we are in the world, but we are not of the world, and we are sanctified by the truth of God's word. And so what separates us, Brother Jim, is that we draw the line where God's word draws the line. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter how the world lives. It doesn't matter what popular opinion is. We draw the line where the word of God draws the line. I'm talking about surrender. And so in the world, but not of the world. You see, if we went scuba diving, and when you go scuba diving, you're going into a foreign world. That world under the water is not your home, all right? We're better off up here. The fish live down there. We don't belong in the water. We weren't created to be in the water. It's a place for fish. And if I try to make the water my home, it will eventually become my tomb. I'll die. And so that system underwater is not designed to sustain me. The system underwater is designed to sustain fish. And so what do I do? If I want to go into the water, I've got to take something from my world and take it into the water. We call that oxygen. I got to take that into the water. And if you're going to be in the water, you need to take oxygen. You need to take something from your world into that world. Okay? What do we do? We take the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is the thing that saves us and sanctifies us. We are sanctified through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And so the deeper you go into the world, the more pressure you're going to experience. Correct? The deeper you go into the world, the more pressure you're going to experience, Maxwell. And the deeper you go under the water, the more pressure you're going to experience on your body. You go down that deep without any pressurization, it will crush you. And if you allow yourself to go into the world, this world will crush you. You've got to have something more powerful inside of you. You've got to have pressure inside of you to resist the pressure on the outside. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so it changes the way we think about coming to church. Because when we come to church, we're trying to increase that pressure on the inside, the word on the inside, the spirit on the inside, so that the pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. You understand what I'm talking about? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And then Paul says, which is your reasonable service? Some of you in your Bible that will say, which is your spiritual worship? That word, reasonable service, the Greek word is a worship term. Everyone say worship. And so worship is surrender, not church attendance. Worship is surrender. Worship is a posture of sacrifice and surrender. Worship is giving, serving, time, talent, treasure. You can be in church. Let me tell you, you can be in church, but not worshiping. You can lift your hands and clap and dance and all those sort of things. You can be in church and not worshiping. Why? Because you haven't surrendered. You haven't presented your life. And so my word today is give God all, a living sacrifice. Give the world none of you. Don't be conformed. But then Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is that word metamorphosis. It means to be transformed. Like a caterpillar coming to becoming a butterfly, the renewing of our mind. And that transformation happens when we surrender. God, I want you to take control. When we surrender to be born again, the Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we surrender and we get baptized in the name of Jesus, our sins are washed away. When we are filled with the Spirit, Christ in me, the hope of glory, it all starts with repentance. Mark 14, verse 36 says, not what I will, but what you will. You see, surrender is connected to our will. And there is a price, as Brother Kent spoke about this morning, there is a price for living for God. You see, as I get ready to finish, when Jesus spoke to people, he often identified areas in their life where they needed to surrender. And I believe today, in the preaching of the word today, God is speaking to you about areas of your life where you need to surrender. To the rich businessman who wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus said, okay, go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor. Obviously, money was important to him. Was he willing to surrender in that area of his life? But what Mark 10 says, the man went away unwilling to do it. To the woman caught in the act of adultery, and of course, there was a man there as well. What did Jesus say? He said, I don't condemn you, but go. Don't do that anymore. Go and sin no more. That means that we also have to surrender our sexual drive and desires to God. We want to be obedient to God's word. Just because you feel it in your flesh doesn't make it right. Surrender to God's word. It doesn't mean being passive. It doesn't say, well, I just don't care. I'm surrendered. I'm just giving up. You know, surrender means I embrace God's plan for my life. It involves I got to make choices. I've got to take the initiative. It doesn't mean I stop using my mind. It doesn't mean I stop asking questions. It just says, God, you are God and I'm not. And I hope nobody's got a problem with that statement. That he's God and I'm not. Because the moment you start thinking you're God, or the moment you start acting like you're God, like you are God, God's going to take a step back and say, okay, let's see how you go by yourself, Mr. God, little g. Surrender. If the musicians could come. Psalm 66 says, how great is our God. Anybody who has a doubt, let me tell you some of the attributes of God. He is omnipotent. Everyone say omnipotent. That means he's big, he's all powerful, he's indestructible. He's omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere present. He's everywhere at the same time. That means nobody can get away from him. He knows where you are. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He owns everything. He's sovereign. He never changes. He's immutable. He will live forever. He's eternal. He controls everything. He has the absolute authority. And so just in case somebody here thought they were God, I don't think that's you. What is surrender? Surrender is acknowledging that his ways are better. He is wiser. He has a greater purpose. Jesus, arrange my life around what you want for me. Jesus, be the center of my life. Lord God, I will be obedient to your word. John chapter 12, verse 24 says this, and I think it's on the screen. Unless the kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, that feeling of falling, that feeling of not being in control, surrender. Unless the kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, that's to self, it produces many seeds. You see, that's the power of surrender. Job said it like this in Job chapter 16, verse 12. I wasn't going to include this, but it's a powerful verse because sometimes we know exactly what this is like. Job says, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for a mark. You see, sometimes God just needs to take us and shake us and say, hey, stop acting like you're God. Let me be God. Surrender to me. Surrender your will to my will. Surrender your purpose to my purpose. Surrender your life to me. I will do a work. And how frustrated God must be as we go around seeking things. And he says, no, no, seek me first. I'll take care of all of those things. Let's stand right now. And so in our text, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And Paul had been a Jesus hater, self-righteous. He was a persecutor. The Bible says he literally breathed hatred towards the Christians. He had self-will, he had ambition. He was a Pharisee, the most zealous of Jewish leaders. He was on the way up. He was on the way up. Yet the Lord took this self-made, self-determined, self-directed man and made Paul an incredible example of what a surrendered life looks like. Paul said this, in 1 Timothy 1:16, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says, you can have it if you would just surrender. And so you say, Pastor, does God want what I own? Not necessarily. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to surrender to him today. He wants you to give it up today. You see, God doesn't want your stuff. He could have your stuff whenever he wants. He's God. He could just take it. He wants you. The issue is, does He have me? Does He have you? Am I surrendered? Are we surrendered with no strings attached? Some people say, oh God, if you promise me this, I'll surrender. No. Surrender with no strings attached, withholding nothing. You see, I ask you today, what are you holding on to? Is there somebody in your life that shouldn't be there? Are you holding on to a relationship that God doesn't want you to have? Is there something? Is there a way of life? Is there a habit in your life? I tell you today that God loves you and He has a plan and purpose. And so what will you bring to this altar today and surrender for God? You see, there is power in surrender. And even the way we worship today, when we lift our hands, when you lift your hands like this, you're saying, God bless me. I'm ready to catch it. Send the blessing down. I'll catch it. Okay, you've seen people lift their hands like this. But then there's another way we lift our hands. That's different because that's the international sign of surrender. If somebody came to a house and there was a criminal inside, they yell out, come out with your hands up. Come out surrendered. And so I wonder today, we're going to sing this old hymn. We're going to get ready for a baptism. We celebrate that baptism today. But right now, God wants to speak to us about surrender. If we could lift our hands all across this place right now, and say, I surrender to you, Jesus. Lord, that key, that password to opening and unlocking the blessing of God. Oh, yes, Jesus, I surrender, Lord.